This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Good morning, this is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 145 of Within the Trenches. I'm recording live from the 2017 Indiana NENA APCO Conference at the Marriott East. And it has been an excellent week. There's been a lot of stuff going on, a lot of networking, a lot of education, excellent pre-conference classes that are going on here. It's just been excellent. Can't say enough about this conference. Also, yesterday was the first day. The opening ceremony went just very well. I mean, there were a lot of different people talking. They honored Barry Ritter, who's the current executive director of the Indiana State 901 board. And he's announced his resignation. He's going to be going on to do other things, starting his own consultant business and stuff. So again, a lot of good things that were going on. I also did a short presentation talking about the IM-901 movement as well as Project IM-901. And there was not a dry eye in the audience. It was good. There were a lot of people that were coming up to me saying, thank you for what you do. And also thanks a lot for making me cry so early in the morning. Next time I'll have to have tissues. And now today, Thursday, which is April 20th or International Smoke Pot Day, 420. We're on Thursday, the second to the last day of the conference. There's going to be the vendor hall is open right now. Everybody's going through there, doing the scavenger hunt, picking up swag. And there's going to be some more classes going on. I have two talks that I'll be giving. One will be with the president of my company in digital. It'll be Mark Grady. We're going to be talking about location accuracy and the partnership that we have with RapidSOS. And the next one after that will be a live audience episode of Imagine Listening, as well as open mic. So that episode is going to start out a little hard, maybe a little emotional with the stories that are going to be told. However, it'll end on a good note because we will end up talking about all the other crazy shit that happens in dispatch, and we're going to have a good time. It's going to be fun. So with that said, how can I forget? This episode, along with all the other episodes recorded this week, are supported by Indiana NENA and APCO, and as always, supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. Cannot forget my supporters. So my guest today, we're going to talk about something that one of the people and I have been we've been talking about for a while now, wanting to get this recorded because it's funny and it's going to be good. So my guests today are Sarah, who's the assistant director over at Kosciuszko County. How's it going?
Good.
Excellent. Excellent. And one of my coworkers, actually a sales engineer and a utility player within digital, Kurt. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Thanks.
All right. Excellent. So, like I said before, we've been talking about something that happened to you how many years ago now?
It's been 6 years.
Six years.
Yeah.
So as fathers, when things go on with our kids and stuff, we want to try to lead them or guide them the right way to do something. But in this case, when when you were trying to guide them or show them exactly how to do something, you ended up having to call 911 after this happened, and Sarah was actually the call taker at that time. And we have the story. I wish we had the tape. That would have been awesome to be able to play the tape at the same time. But
I might have been a little bit embarrassed to play the tape.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Well, you did say during the playback that you really don't like to hear your voice on playback.
No, I don't.
So, but it still would have been good. We would have been laughing. You know, we would have been laughing. It would have been good. So let's start with, how did this even happen? What was going on, Kurt?
Well, the funny part about this is Sarah doesn't know all of the funny parts about this.
Oh, well, then this is even better.
She dispatched, but we had known each other before that because I am the service technician in the Kosciuszko area.
Right.
I mean, Kurt's been in our office
Daily.
Daily. Uh-huh. I think we even set up a little desk for him.
Yep, that's right. Spent a lot of time there. I didn't take any 911 calls or, well, I did once, but I quickly handed it over to somebody who could effectively handle it.
Nice.
We spent a lot of time together. That's really the short story. So she really didn't know a lot of the background of this, mm-hmm. this event, but because it was like family, for my wife, who actually made the call to call in, they knew immediately who it was, but, the details behind the call are really the funniest part.
And this is where it's going to get good because you only had half the story.
That
and
is true.
And I've had half the battle.
I had the more imminent danger type
right.
part of the
yeah.
story.
Yeah. So keep in mind, I was medevac or well, life flight. So I was flown by helicopter to the hospital that could take care of me.
This is how crazy it got.
Yeah. So it was a day after a major storm that blew through northern Indiana. A lot of down trees, a lot of power lines down. Just a typical storm that we would have. And my second son of the seven children that I have was helping our neighbor's children clean up their yard because their father was away on a missions trip to Haiti.
Right.
And they were doing a great job. I was watching them, and really all the neighborhood kids were there from 5 years all the way up to 15 or 16 years old. And my son was 14 at the time. They had stacked up a lot of different piles in the yards, and there was a larger branch that had fallen most of the way down but was still connected to the tree at about 15 feet up. And it was a really large tree, probably 50, 60 inches round at the base.
Mm-hmm.
Super good tree for climbing. I mean, you could spend a lot of time in that tree comfortably laying on branches. So it was kind of sad. At the same time, we knew that we had to get it down, or they knew that they had to get it down. I happened to be in the garage working to clean it up, which is what us men do. We go in the garage and clean it. Right?
AKA man cave.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
We were getting it straight. I was getting it straight. And my son came in and he said, "Hey, Dad, can I have a saw?" And I said, "What do you need a saw for?" And he told me what he was doing. And I thought, all right, a bow saw should work well. So I handed him the saw. And I just by chance walked out to see what he was doing. And he was cutting the branch at as high as he could from the ground. And I looked up and I could see the branch was, I'd say, 10 inches in diameter. So it was a fairly large branch. And if he would have cut that bottom part, which was holding it, it would have probably fallen down on top of him. So I stopped him, you know, told him, "This is not a safe thing to do. You definitely need to take a different vantage point from this. Let's get up that tree and you just shimmy out there on that big branch." And the branch itself was 12, maybe 14 inch. So it was a good sized tree.
Right.
And then there was another branch above it that you could actually hold onto, kind of like a rail. So he was still a little timid about getting out on the branch with a saw. And it was really at that point where he was stretching as far as he could, and it really looked like he was about to fall. So I said, hold on. Let me get up there and help you out. And he was a little resistant, you know how kids are.
I want to do it.
Yeah,
right.
So I climbed up exactly where he was on the branch. It didn't even show any signs that there was added weight of, you know, 180, 200 pounds on it. Just perfect tree. I have to keep going back to this. Really a wonderful tree. Full of leaves. Yeah. A nice place to hide out.
And tree it's been there since you had moved into the house.
Absolutely.
So it had sentimental history
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're both up on this branch. And I said, well, let me just saw this down. I clear all the kids out from below and started hacking away at it, standing on the branch like there was no fear at all, you know, because I wasn't scared. Everything was good. And it broke free and boom, landed down on the ground.
Yeah.
And all the kids were just in awe. And I said, now that is how you take down a branch.
Oh,
get up above
so
it.
You got that.
You get up above it. You get yourself in a position of safety and you saw it. You don't reach from the base of the trunk and try to, you know, cut it off like that.
But that was your version of dropping the mic.
It was.
In front of your kids and
exactly.
being like,
"Rah!"
Alpha male, you know, King Kong hitting your chest
away.
And stuff. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, and that's where it started to go bad.
Oh,
all right?
Man.
Yep.
Okay.
So I was standing up there. And now remember, the whole neighborhood of kids are around. I mean, there's little kids, big kids, and there are people out in their yard working to rake things up and... It was a community effort. So I look at my son, and again, it was just such a beautiful environment, perfectly peaceful. I told him, I said, now, let me show you the safe way to get down from a tree. All right, let me show you the safe way to get down from a tree. And he was just looking at me the whole time. I remember seeing him as I was turning to step what I thought, because remember the leaves, I said, were full. I thought that I was turning to step onto the branch that I was on to walk down toward the trunk of the tree.
Right.
Well, there was no branch where I stepped. And I was all into the step, so there was no coming out of this.
Slow motion.
Yeah. So I immediately thought, okay, grab a branch. Well, I reached for this branch, and it just splintered into a billion little pieces when I grabbed hold of it. And I thought, uh-oh. And at this point, I was horizontal to the ground.
Right.
So there was no recovery from this fall. And I'm about 15 feet up. So now I really feel like I have no way to straighten myself out. So what popped into my mind was just relax, take the fall.
In those few seconds?
Yeah. So I remember I tucked my arms in and crossed them over my chest.
You accepted your fate.
Well, I remember the drunk people, usually when they get into car accidents, don't get hurt. So the theory behind that was, and you guys might be able to tell me, the theory behind that was is that they're passed out. So they just kind of flop around, right?
Right. They don't stiffen up.
Yeah.
They're relaxed.
Yeah.
So I relaxed to take the fall.
Right.
Well, I inverted. So when I hit the ground, I was on my head. And I landed directly on the side of my head, right above my right eye or left eye.
Yeah.
And when I came down, my body kind of rolled down and my leg slapped down on the root bed at the base of the tree. And that's how my leg broke. But the interesting part was my neck didn't break. And Providence preserved
some sort of divine intervention.
Absolutely. I had to learn a lesson of some kind of.
Well, of course. The big
humility.
Guy upstairs was probably like, how do you feel now?
Right on. So I don't think that I don't think that I lost consciousness. I mean,
No, because your wife, when I was asking questions, she's like, he's talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the part of that she didn't know was wherever I looked, all I could see was what I was looking at. But before that, so my son, remember the whole community of children are outside watching this. So they see me fall. So there's kids standing there. They're pale. And some of them are purple. I don't think they were breathing. And
right.
This one little girl, they had to come and get her and take her away because it was so traumatic for her.
Were you like flailing around or anything?
No.
You were just face down, not moving.
My military instinct came back, man. I was wounded and I needed to get out of there. So I started dragging myself by my elbow to get across the yard over into my yard because I didn't want my neighbor to get in trouble for me falling out of his tree in his yard. So I'm dragging myself over. Devin gets down from the tree and, he's very concerned.
Right.
I wouldn't say he's panicking. He was calm. And I said, go get the keys. Get the keys to the truck. You got to take me to the hospital.
You're my only hope.
Well, I tried to get up and I couldn't stand up because my leg flopped around.
Well, and because you landed on your head, you were probably like kind of out of it too. You had no balance or anything.
Exactly. So it was like I was looking through crystal tubes. Wherever I looked, I saw nothing else except crystal tubes.
Weird tunnel vision then.
Exactly.
Jeez.
So I'm dragging myself and my neighbor, a Mexican guy I lived next to, wonderful guy. His name is Juan.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was the one to help you.
Yeah, it really was, for sure.
Yahtzee.
Well, he didn't do anything, but lay down next to me on the ground and talk to me. He literally laid down in the grass.
What are they, Meng? I see you fall.
Yeah, and come to find out, he had been an oil rig guy in Texas back in his younger days and had fallen out of a rig 40 feet.
Wow.
So he was familiar with the whole event. So he was like, just...
I know how you feel.
So he was just getting me to stop moving.
Right.
And I remember there was a point where I couldn't talk anymore. It was just like I wanted to talk, but I just couldn't say anything. I was just looking at people.
So you were like concussed then or something. I mean... I mean, you must have been the way you're talking. You were out of it. So then, so you're laying there, and then your wife runs out.
Oh yeah, yeah. So she
the important part,
yeah. Right? So my wife had been out in the garage with me. Remember, this is a matter of 5 minutes. Okay.
But for you, it's like an eternity.
Well, for me, going out from the garage to the tree, going up, cutting, and falling, it was 5 minutes. And my wife had just been outside with me. And now I'm kind of a prankster with my wife. I like to plan for different events and stuff. You know, I like to make sure that she's prepared to handle trauma and accidents, and we train well in the house. You know,
I was gonna say you run scenarios at home.
Yeah, you know, like I pass out at the wheel.
We do as well, but you pass out at the wheel.
Oh, well, simulate passing out at the wheel
while you're driving.
Yeah, and then make sure that she's ready to grab the wheel.
Does not surprise me, Kurt.
Right, this is awesome.
Military, you're gonna get ready. You never know what's gonna happen.
This is true.
I got a load of kids in the back. You're the co-pilot. Let's make sure that we can. So we've gone through these things, and she was thinking maybe this was a training event. Because she had just went in the house and then came out, and here I am laying down on the ground looking, you know, quote, looking like I'm hurt. So she comes up to me and she's like, Kurt, get up. Get up. What are you doing? This isn't funny. And she kind of kicks me. You know, I'm wiggling around a little bit.
Drooling and unable to speak, right? Right eye goes cross-eyed.
So she finally realizes that I'm not kidding, and it's not a training event, and that's where she dials 911. And I'm not really sure of what happened with that call at this point.
I'm telling you, you have hysterical callers, you have calm callers.
Yeah.
I loved his wife calling, because she's like, you know, you answer it, Kosciuszko 911, where's your emergency? Had the address. Had the name, had the callback number. And I don't remember how long the call lasted. I bet for the first 2-3 minutes, I didn't know who I was dealing with. When I found out who it was, I mean, here I am up to this point, I'm still being professional,
right? Yeah.
Doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And then when you found out who it was, like Kurt said, that's family.
Yeah.
A whole different emotional adrenaline dumped in.
I can't imagine. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Here we are. You know, I'm talking to his wife. You know, don't move him. How far did he fall? What did he land on? What was he doing? I send help. We end up flying him. So I got to get a hold of that, you know, a helicopter. And after it was over, and I apologize now, I'm like, what was the dumbass doing up in the tree?
Well, that's the course, though. I mean, really.
Right. So at one point, did you find out that it was Kurt? Was it during the call or was it
during
after
the call?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So maybe halfway through or something?
Joanna said, it's Kurt from InDigital. And I was like, oh, I'm like, David.
Yeah. Oh, man. And David, who is was the main director, or the director at the time, he now works for InDigital. But so he was the director for you guys at that time. So I can just imagine, I can just see the both of you like, oh, shit.
What? Yeah. Well, the medics arrived very quickly. I mean, we had fire and EMTs within 3 minutes, I think. It was fast.
It was quick.
Nice.
And I'm not saying that he got preferential treatment because he's family, but he got preferential treatment because he's family.
and really the crew, too, to talk about that. One of the volunteer fire department people, I forget his name now, he and his wife made us two gigantic things of lasagna. And
sweet.
People brought food, and it was quite impressive. And this was all from emergency services personnel.
Nice.
It was pretty awesome.
Well, and then, I mean, the other thing too, you know, going along with, you know, how fast help got there and stuff, your wife was prepared. So she had that information out, just going. And that's one of the main things that people who are listening need to know is, you know, for the general public, if you want to get people out there really fast, you need to have that stuff available. You got to know exactly where you're at, you know, give cross streets, give your name, give your number. But the first thing that they ask is, where is your emergency? Give that address right away. Mm-hmm. And you got to remain calm, because if you end up being, you know, that type of caller who is, you know, hysterical and such, and I'm not saying that you can't be, I'm just saying that there are some calls where you will be hysterical. Mm-hmm. However, you have to kind of find some sort of way to remain as calm as possible so you can get that information out, because dispatch is going to get everybody out there as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she had all that information, she was able to give it to you that quick, that was probably the main thing, the biggest thing there. And so you ended up getting flown out?
Yeah.
I don't know that I remember you telling me that part.
Well, that was my $15,000 t-shirt, because that's what it cost.
That's what it cost?
Fly. Yeah, you get the t-shirt.
Holy crap. So wait a minute. The last I knew, or from what I was told from callers in Michigan, was that if you get an ambulance ride, it's 10 grand, but it's only five more grand to be flown.
Well, I had both. I was taken by ambulance to Kosciuszko County Hospital, which is the only place they could land the helicopter in that area.
Right.
And they flew me from there and to the specialists.
So either way, so it was like 10 grand for the ambulance ride, and still five more for the, to be flown. Yeah. Dang, man. Yeah. So what exactly happened then that you had to be flown out? Like, you jacked your shoulder or?
Well,
because I'm trying to remember your actual injury, but.
I had a broken leg.
Oh, you had a broken. Okay. I was way off.
Yeah. So I had a broken leg, but because I fell on my head, my entire eyeball had filled with blood and I had a concussion and I was in surgery, but I was in the hospital for a week.
Jeez, man.
They were pretty concerned that I had swelling in my head. And
how far did you fall?
About 15 feet.
Landing on ground.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. On your head.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And broke my leg.
And broke your leg. Yeah. That's why I was trying to think. It's like, you fell. How did you break your leg? Did you twist it while you were up in a tree somehow?
It hit the root bed.
Oh.
So when my head hit, my body kind of rolled down and slapped my leg down onto the root bed.
Oh, my gosh. And I saw the picture, and maybe that's why I didn't think that it was your leg that was broken, because the picture that you showed me, your face is jacked.
Yeah, you did see that.
See, I didn't get to see that. Well, not that I want to, but.
He might have it on his phone, actually.
Yeah, I do have a picture of it. We'll have to show it to you sometime.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. I mean, he looks like he was in a UFC fight that he was not prepared for at all. He climbed into that octagon and got worked.
For sure.
But he got worked from a fall in a tree.
But you had mentioned that Joanna had all the information and was able to make that call. We have a little bit of an unfair advantage, because during that time, we were doing a lot of beta work with Kosciuszko County. Mm-hmm. So on certain occasions, Joanna would have to dial 911 for me so that we could do test calls.
So she was very prepared.
So she had spoken to dispatch many times. I've probably called 911, thousands of times?
Thousands of times. Also, now, again, family. So I had met Joanna and some of the kids.
Oh, man. So that just heightens it even more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, because there's that. It's just like working with people out on the road. You know, you end up developing this sort of camaraderie and such. And, you know, they're your second family. And those people that don't know in the industry partner side, you know, you've got these techs that come in and they're there with you. And they might not be taking the calls or anything, but they're the ones who are setting up the tech to be able to allow you to help save lives. And you spend all this time together. So yeah, I can see that completely. And well, the fact that you were always calling, and then one time out of those thousands of calls.
You prepared them well.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the children have spent a lot of time dialing so that I can test 911 systems.
Nice. You know, what's funny is that there was one time in Michigan where a neighboring county was there. The festival thing that we were at was in Ottawa County, and a couple of the dispatchers that were there, I knew them. They were on episode 6 of the podcast very early on, and they had this phone, and they, you know, they would have kids up and practice, you know, 911 and stuff. And my son Logan goes up and they start running a scenario with him, and he's like at first he didn't know what to say. I was like, we've practiced this before. I'm in dispatch. I've told you how to do this. And he's like, oh yeah. I was like, what the heck? And they're giving me crap because they're like, you haven't prepared your own kid. You worked in 911. I was like, screw you guys. I have. He's just nervous. He's shy. He knows what to say. Oh, yeah. That's funny. But, you know, I guess that's what happens sometimes when you get into that moment. So, yep. You know, this, I have to say, this is the first time ever in the 145 episodes that I've done, or 144, I should say, because this is the 45th, that I have had a caller and dispatcher on at the same time to tell a story.
Well, this would be the casualty. The caller is not here.
It's but, true, yeah, but you know what I mean. Yeah, the victim.
Yeah, well, and it's more of a casualty, not a critical.
Do we expect anything less?
I know, right?
Yeah. So you never look at here's the scar. Look at that. It's what, 8 inches long, 20 stitches, 20 staples.
So Kurt right now is lifting his pant leg to show Sarah his injury. Yeah. And so how many stitches or staples or whatever did you have?
It was somewhere between 15 and 20.
Jeez. Yeah, so what exactly did they have to do to your leg?
I shattered my tibia, the top of it. So I have a metal plate holding most of it together.
So you're a cyborg then.
And that's when it squeaks. You've heard it squeak, right?
I have heard it.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We've been at work or traveling together. Did you hear that? I did hear that. I didn't know what it was. I thought, I don't know what it was. He's like, that's my leg. I was like, what? I'm like, no. He's like, yeah, listen. And then he would. Like, that's my leg. I'm a cyborg. Does it ever go off when we travel? I don't think it goes off or anything, right?
Do you have to carry a special card that says that you have?
There are some people that do. When I was last week, when I was in New Orleans, coming back from New Orleans, actually, there was somebody who had gone through and it just kept going off and going off. And it's like, I told you I've got metal in me. And they're like, sir, we still got to bring you over here. So they're doing, you know, the whole thing. And he goes, I'm going to cup you. And he's like, okay, it's most, why did he say it? It's the most, most action I've gotten in years or something like that. It was, it was pretty funny. It was a very old man. But yeah, it was funny stuff. Well, that's good. You don't get bothered then when you go through with that metal plate.
The most trouble I get from this is when I go in dispatch, because I still hear about the treatment with W Cushing.
Yes.
He's first thing he always says to me, you've been trimming any trees lately? He did it this event as well. So. They've kind of lightened up on me though.
This is cool, though, because as a call taker, very often you get to sit down and talk to your casualty.
Right.
And hear the outcome, but see for yourself that he's all right.
Yes.
This is cool.
Yeah, this is cool. Yeah, I like this.
It straightened me out a little bit.
Yeah, well, I've heard some stories where you still have that moment of alpha male that comes through. Mufasa, the king of the lions.
Somebody's
got to
be in charge.
That's right.
Lead the way.
Until you fall out of a tree again.
Yes. God forbid, man.
This time, you'll land differently. You'll do it like a ninja. It just, instead of landing on your head going inverted, you'll do a front roll or something like that.
I wish I was that dynamic.
That's awesome.
Now, well, there is a little bit of additional to this.
Yeah.
After everything was said and done, Joanna had the kids write thank you letters.
Oh, that is awesome.
So, this was 2010. I still have those letters.
Really?
I still talk about you.
And I do look at them. When you're having, I'm like, that day that just is not going the way it's supposed to be going.
Right, exactly.
I pull those out and I look at them and I'm like, that makes me smile.
That makes this even better.
Again, it goes, family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you both for being on this episode. Going into the wrap up here, we are just about to hit that 30-minute mark. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be possible.
I didn't either.
Yeah, just on one call. We probably could keep going. But going into this wrap up, thank you very much, both of you, for being on this episode. And this was a cool moment to be able to have the both of you on here and share this as the casualty, as you're saying, which I love. That's awesome. And the call take. This is awesome. Enjoy the rest of the week. There's a lot of stuff that's going to be going on still. There's still more classes tomorrow and such. And did you put your card in over there at our booth?
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Cool. Because we're doing a drawing for a pretty slick watch.
Put another one in.
All right. Sweet. That'll work. For those who are listening, if you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and it'll be WTTpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @91podcast. You can like us on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. And this episode, along with all the other episodes this week recorded, are supported by Indiana Nina and APCO, as well as InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services. And also, this episode, along with all of the others, can be heard 24/7 on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, and the Jabberlog.com. Have a good one.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to WTTpodcast@gmail.com.